Welcome to the Electric Monks Podcast, episode 36, Hacks, Leaks and Animated Speculation.
Hello and welcome back to the Electric Monks Podcast. My name's Ed and I'm joined by the one, the only, Nemo.
I am still Nemo, indeed. I've had COVID the last few weeks, and I'm not feeling quite myself. But I'm on the way back. Mostly, it's just
Who is feeling themselves these days?
Absolutely.
Anyway, sorry to hear that, but I'm sure you'll get well soon. So
yeah, lots of extra tiredness is really everything that's been happening to me. It's just like, I think I'll have a nap. I'll have another nap.
I had a Christmas that was a bit like that one year, where I was just so ill that all I remember is like watching some really bad like a King Arthur movie on TV or something like that, and I was barely able to eat any of Christmas dinner as well. So it was a really rough, and it was, I think, one of the first Christmases after we moved house as well. So it wasn't a great period.
that sounds very discombobulating. Let's go with that word.
Yeah. But anyway, this year went a bit better. I was going to ask how you've been, but I think you kind of answered that question.
That's everything that I've got for how I've been, really. It's just been like, yeah.
Anyway, one thing we should also talk about is how the podcast has been, because the podcast, I went on one day, tried to log in, realized that my details didn't work, and I contacted support, and it turned out that they said, oh, your email address, you changed it a while ago to this. It's like, no, I didn't. And it turns out, yes, I've been hacked by some Eastern European man. And I know he's Eastern European because he went in and recorded an advert, which he attempted to monetize with his own voice. And in fact, he was reading out the default anchor ad, and he also made some mistakes. So I imagine English is probably not his first language, because a couple of the words got either pronounced or just sort of said in a way that implies to me that he couldn't read them properly. But I mean, because if English wasn't his first language, it was still a pretty valiant attempt, I must say. Although I shouldn't really be praising him, because he made a grand total of 29 cents out of us over the course of, I think, 2 or 3 weeks before I noticed that something was off.
If anybody asks why I haven't been to Bali this year, that's my excuse. Sorry, the podcast I was relying on income from got hacked. All the money got taken by scammers, and 29 cents.
Yeah, I like to imagine that there was some sort of bidding war over the podcast in like Eastern Europe. But it's not like they haven't got bigger things to worry about at the moment. And
I think they do.
Yeah. They do. I was being a little bit flippant there. but I looked at, oh, yes. I finally got the Electric Monks podcast. Yes, with Ed and Nemo. I'm going to make loads of money out of these people, and then find out, hey, they're not actually that popular. Oh, no. Even this crappy ad I made didn't work.
At least we know that we have listeners out there.
Yeah, certainly. We could make, if we had a secret bank account in the US, at least, we could have made about 30 cents out of this, at least. But hey, more's the pity. I guess Bex said a while ago to me during the podcast I did with her, oh, you guys should do Patreon and like sell merchandise with the logo, which I admitted was like just a clip art of a cat, essentially, yes. That I sort of put some text on, which shows my level of graphic design, really. But anyway, if they'd made more money out of us, maybe I might be a little bit more miffed. But but thankfully, we're not that popular. It's one of the few times where I'm thankful we're not that popular, because he can keep it, frankly. Maybe he'll start his own podcast, is what I joked about. He really should, where he just copies everything we say.
Yes.
Yeah, anyway, I mean, people go find something to do.
The case of the hacked podcast, and we didn't even need a holistic detective to solve it.
Yeah, the funny thing is, like, I just didn't even notice for like several weeks. But I guess that shows we don't make episodes more frequently enough.
Yeah,
if we did more frequently, that would have been a much bigger. We would have nipped it in the bud, like, and it wouldn't even have been a story.
Well, that's
probably
why we're
people
here.
Who only know us during that period where there was this random guy, and they thought that was me. doing the intro. So I find that a very funny.
I'll be tuning in. Who's this English and this Australian guy? It's not as good as the original. We'll get him on as a guest star.
Maybe, yeah. I don't think he'll want to show his face particularly. But hey, you know, Olive, we should lay out the olive branch, shouldn't we? He might even be listening to this. Who knows? But I never got his name, but I know your voice. So that sounds vaguely threatening. anyway, people probably want to know about the animated series Nemo rather than us being hacked and being incompetent. I really need to set up some sort of two-factor authentication or something.
Yeah.
But we do have some news about the animated series. Yeah.
Animated series.
Yes, of course. So we got on, I think, 28th of December. So Arvin, possibly having had a glass or two just before New Year's, he gave the following message to a thread that I made about 145 days beforehand, where I was speculating because of a Neil Gaiman had signed a book for Arvin's daughter, I think. And Arvin was posted a screenshot of it. And I speculated that, oh, is Neil Gaiman working with Arvin on the animated series?
That was a tweet, was it?
It was a tweet, yeah. So Arvin replied in that thread randomly, just, like I say, 150 days later. So I found myself accidentally on here. So here's the scoop. It did indeed take a bunch of time to clarify rights on the Dirk Gently animated series, but that is now done. We also were spending some time attaching a phenomenal voice talent to the series as a new character. So that is done. The plan is to take the package out to buyers in the new year. Neil is not involved. He and I are cooking some other things together. Happy New Year. And a Happy New Year to you too, Arvin. So quite a bit to unpack there.
That is some interesting news.
Yeah, it certainly explains a little bit that having to clarify rights was the reason that it took a year and a half between socially distanced Dirk and this random Reddit comment that I doubt many people will see.
Yes, we had been speculating ourselves in discussions and possibly earlier podcasts that the rights issues were going to be a headache, and that
socially distanced Dirk we did, because remember, yes, there was that. I said in the video that I made recently, which is sort of everything we know about the animated series. I don't want to mock it too much because I know the guy, Neil, who edited it, who's also credited in there. And I even put a text saying, sorry, Neil, but it's basically a default Final Cut Pro credit sequence. And it credits Max Landis for making Amanda Brotzman, yep, who of course appears in the short. So I speculated that either that or maybe Bart being in the concept art, maybe that was what sort of started this whole kind of either Landis looking for sort of clarification, not Landis, because he's not making anything. It's Arvind seeking clarification.
Clarification,
sorry,
from Landis or Landis's lawyers.
Or Landis sort of, yeah, lawyers going, oh, you own these characters, you should sue because that's this cool thing that you do now.
Yeah, and it feels like the obvious interpretation is clarification of rights for the original characters from the BBC America series, that those original characters would have been created by Landis. But
I don't think it's like, oh, maybe they need rights from the BBC to use Reg or something, because Reg was in the comics as well, which makes you think, yeah, maybe him being in that original book
covers that. That's a little bit, yeah, because that was already in Douglas's book. But if they're looking at using the BBC America style Dirk, that might be something where it was just a clarification of rights. It's not necessarily a obtaining the rights. It might just have been a bit of back and forth between just clarifying, look, this version of the character was one that was heavily influenced by Max Landis, but it is a character that predates Max Landis. There might have been some legal back and forth just to make sure that there wasn't going to be a down the track legal blow up if somebody says no, that's my version of Dirk Gently, and why wasn't I credited? That it's easy to speculate that the saying clarifying rights means we will get the BBC America characters continuing, but I wouldn't guarantee it. It feels the most likely interpretation, but I'm hesitant to be too confident about it.
Yeah, one of the things I said in the video I made was, it doesn't make sense that it took so long for us to hear anything if it was simple as just, can we use these characters? No. Okay. write them out. Although it would sort of make sense if they had to drastically rewrite what they were planning for the series to accommodate that. Do you remember Doctor Who, when they brought Doctor Who back in 2005? And there's that brilliant episode, Dalek, which of course reintroduces the Daleks, and written of course by Robert Sherman. And the original plan was, because they didn't know if they were going to be able to get the rights from the Terry Nation estate, of course wrote the original Dalek story in the 1960s, and basically the plan was to, and it's in the episode as well, Van Staten, the guy who owns the museum where the episode takes place, he refers to it as the Metaltron. So the original plan was it was going to be a Metaltron, and it was going to be this big ball thing, which I believe they ended up reusing later on in the third season of Arrive Doctor Who, where it was like this Toclophane kind of thing that the Masters would take over Earth, that were basically converted humans from the future sent back in time to kill their ancestors, which was a very, very messed up concept. But
it was.
Yeah, but I guess we can look forward to more of that now. Russell T. Davies is redoing Doctor. Interesting, because Arvin in his Reddit handle is Arv2D2, and Russell T. Davies, the sort of his comeback era, has also been called the RTD2D2, whatever it is.
That's too many letters and numbers for me.
Yes, I know, it's all too similar. I'm getting mixed up, but. I find that kind of funny. That there were a lot of people making comments that, hey, the trailer for the David Tennant specials that I guess are coming out in November next year came out, and then Arvin made this random post as well. So hey, it's like a late Christmas present already. Well, not late Christmas already. I mean, that doesn't make sense. it's a nice late Christmas present. I don't know why I added the word already in there. That was me being impatient, I guess, having waited 5 years for the animated series to come to any kind of fruition. But that was one of the reasons why I wanted to make that video, because I thought 5 years would be a good chance to sort of look back at sort of, as a whole, how it sort of developed and how it was originally be more of a continuation and how that's...
Yeah, and it has morphed quite a bit over the last 5 years, and with this brand new information, the clarification of rights, getting a phenomenal voice talent for the series as a new character. That's sounding interesting, and it's going to be... Once it's out, and let's be positive here, let's be optimistic that it will be out. Let's even be optimistic and say in 2023.
It'll come out in our lifetimes.
In our lifetimes. We'll be able to look back on this comment and be able to map exactly what those were meaning. The clarification of rights, we'll know whether that was the rights to existing characters or the rights or clarifying that Dirk Gently as a Max Landist influenced character that we saw in the BBC America series, that clarifying the rights clarified that Dirk Gently as a character predates Max Landis, and there wasn't going to be any rights issues with using a possibly Max Landis version Dirk Gently, because that's, you know, he didn't create the character, he just created he developed a version of the character for that one TV series. So
yeah, exactly.
we'll know once we see the animated series what that clarifying of rights exactly means. We'll know, or we'll have some reasonable guesses of who the phenomenal voice talent attached to a new character is. We may actually get the new series and be sitting there going like, but there's several new characters and they're all voiced really well by these great people. So which one did Arvin mean?
Exactly.
Who was signed up? Yeah, who was signed up in December 2022, and who joined later? And we'll be sitting there speculating, you know, what he meant, and interviewing him again. So, Arvin, who did you mean that time that you wrote that post?
Yeah, and who also did you mean when you said we've hired an experienced and brilliant and really good showrunner and lead writer? Because we never really had any follow up of that, and then we've been waiting about 2 years. Just under 2 years, I think. But
in that time, a lot can change, and
exactly,
showrunners can attach to a project that thinking that it's going to be started within a few months, can then find with delays that they need a job and they move on. Anybody that's been following just a tangent here, the Hitchhikers Hulu TV series. If anybody following that closely will be well aware that there were originally two showrunners attached and a couple of years ago, and they are now both very firmly attached to other projects. So whenever Hitchhiker's Hulu TV series comes up as a question, like what's happening, and the response from folks who have been following very closely tends to be, yeah, we kind of have to assume that it's dead in the water because all the names that were attached to it have moved on. And if it's still happening, it's with names that we don't know. And So Dirk Gently might be the same. It might be that there were some amazing names attached to it a couple of years ago and that we never heard of, and those people may have moved on, and there might be different people attached.
Well, originally it was going to be Six Point Harness, the animation studio, and then
that's a
prodigal.
That is a very good example that the studio itself changed. So Arvin does clarify that their plan is to take the package to buyers in the new year. So we are recording this in the new year. Yes. So hopefully there's buyers out there that are this week, maybe even listening to the elevator pitch and watching, looking at concept art and making decisions, and hopefully positive ones.
It could even be that Pearl, who we speculated so much about, is like in between like the concept art and us doing this, they've completely rewritten it and Pearl's like a completely different character. Because there was somebody who was speculating, oh, I really hope Alan Tudyk comes back to voice. So when they saw the phenomenal voice talent, they thought it was Alan Tudyk. And I was like, well, unless Pearl has been drastically reworked, then I don't think... Tudyk is voicing Pearl. You never know.
Never know.
And more likely to see someone like Jada Shett.
Alan does have experience as a voice actor, which is not always the case with Hollywood. I know the actors in the UK acting scene tend to be a lot more what's the word I'm looking
versatile?
For? Possibly, versatile, a lot more amenable to the idea of doing voice acting and having grown up
with... I think
with,
radio is a much bigger thing here.
Yeah, yeah. Radio drama is a bigger thing in the UK, and it's possibly something that Dirk Maggs has said on one or two occasions, talking about this type of thing, that in the UK, getting a TV actor or a movie actor in for a radio adaptation of their character or indeed a brand new character is not a foreign thing because of that... cultural radio drama has never gone away, whereas in the US radio drama stopped really being a thing in I think the 60s or the 70s, maybe even earlier, and so voice actors in the US tend to be dedicated voice actors, and TV and movie actors tend to be the in front of the camera actors, and they don't as often become voice actors unless it's for having a big name for the voice actor, and that happens, and sometimes to a movie's detriment. There's like DreamWorks and a number of times I think it was the B movie, but it might have been one of the other ones that the DreamWorks did. I remember seeing an analysis basically saying they got all of these big name actors so that they could have the name attached to the movie, but they weren't actually good voice actors, and the Pixar equivalent movie of that year had all of these no-name actors but who did a much better job because they were voice actors. So that voice actor versus screen actor distinction is a US thing much more, I think, than a UK thing. I'm saying that from the point of view of Australia, where really any Australian actor of note it becomes of note because they've moved to the US or to the UK anyway. Australian actors that stay in Australia tend to be
Australian folks.
Not well known. Sure. But they become known to the rest of the world when they move to Hollywood or to the UK.
That's true.
There's a number of Australian actors who are known within Australia for TV soaps or for Australian movies. You know, they don't have that worldwide recognition until they move outside Australia, by and large, anyway.
So. Well, I never thought we'd be talking about the B movie in the Tremonks podcast. Is that going to be when we get to episode 42 with nothing else to talk about? We'll just do a review of the B movie, Jerry Seinfeld's The B Movie. The voice acting's not that good, is it? No. Pretty short review.
What general references can we find? What Hitchhiker references can we find?
Vaguely. I think there's a big courtroom scene in that movie about like where Jerry Seinfeld's character sues the human race. I remember watching it when I was like 13 or something. That's about all I remember.
I don't even remember Seinfeld being in it.
Okay, it sounds like I remember more than you. But anyway,
almost definitely. Unless there's two movies that have the same name,
I'm pretty sure it didn't do well enough to get a sequel. I was wondering because one of the things I speculate in the video that I did, I keep going back to this. This was like, watch a video, don't listen to the podcast. One of the things I did was I speculated about five characters who I thought would be likely. Also, there's a little bit of wish fulfillment in there that I thought of previously established Dirk Gently characters that would show up. And I think I went for Reg Chronotis, Hugo Friedkin, mainly because those two have the means to get into the animated series. I think Janice Pierce was another one. I think the Rowdy Three, all six members. And I think I went for Stephen Mangan's Dirk Gently as well. Did you have any interesting ones? Because I sort of talked in the video already about this is some of the reasoning why I think they would all sort of fit in quite well. Did you have any that I had kind of missed, or did you disagree with some of my picks? Because I know the listeners probably do. They think, why didn't you put more BBCA characters in?
I'd like to see Kate Schechter.
I fell into the Schechter trap.
Yes. Pronunciating words is not my forte this week. Very much I'd like to see more of the Rowdy Three. They were just so much fun on screen.
Yeah, and like I said, I think they have that sort of they destroy stuff and they do the whole energy vampire thing. That would sort of, I think both of those would look really good in the show's art style. And yeah, you could see them really stylizing all that sort of, especially like them destroying a room or something like that.
They're interesting characters too, because they're introduced in a very destructive way. Dirk's, their first introduction to them is that they're ransacking a room and then energy vampiring Dirk, and they're introduced in a very like, oh, who are these guys? They sound like bad news. They look like bad news. They dress like bad news. Their van looks like bad news.
And Dirk's scared of them as well.
Yeah, and Dirk's scared of them. Our main character thinks they're bad news. It's all negative. And by the end of the second season, it's like, the Rowdy Three are so wholesome. They're, like, frankly, they are. Like, they're not perfect. Their destructive tendencies are not the best. But at the end of the day, they're a wholesome group. They look after each other. They've assisted Amanda and accepted her into their group. You know, the whole time they're in Wendemore, they're very accepting about we're not doing our thing. You're the boss now. Tell us what to do. They're not being hooligans in that manner. They're respectful of chain of command, effectively.
Yeah, and Amanda sort of becomes the boss because they get split up, doesn't she? So
that's right.
There is that nice moment where Martin comes back and he basically says, "Now you've been doing well. I think I'll leave you in charge." Effectively, is what he says. I may be paraphrasing greatly. And there's also, of course, the beast that joins the group, the crazy Wendemore lady who's obsessed with Dirk, sort of joins the group right at the end. So it would be interesting if. I do hope they bring back the same voice, even if it's just to make slightly incoherent beast noises. It would be interesting to see how, because she definitely fits into the group quite well in terms of just another person to destroy stuff while Amanda sort of sits back and watches.
Yeah.
I agree. I think they would be pretty, there's not a whole lot of like explanation needed. Whereas I think for some of the characters, I wouldn't know exactly how on earth, like, say, Mr. Priest or Ken, you'd have to explain all the Blackwing stuff. And
yeah,
one of the things I said is also, I don't think the Dirk of the animated show, if indeed he's native to the world of the animated series, I don't think he'll have the whole Blackwing backstory, because it wouldn't make sense to me that they would establish two, because they'd obviously have to reestablish the BBCA version of Blackwing if, say, like, Bart shows up at some point, and they would have to say, "Oh, I'm from another version of Blackwing." It's just like, well, there's too many Blackwings now.
You wouldn't want to overload it, and that's where and again, to go back to the clarification of rights might have been for Blackwing. It might not have been for a character at all.
That's very true, actually.
The concept of Blackwing itself would, I would imagine, fall under that rights clarification. So if there's an intention for brand new characters, but using the Blackwing world building, then that would be part of that. So and if they're going to use, for example, the Rowdy Three, as you said, the Rowdy Three are kind of a plot device you can throw in there. You don't necessarily need to explain where they've
been. Well, that was what worked so well about the first episode that they show up in the pilot of a BBC show. They literally just show up.
They just show up. They're just there.
Shit, it's a rowdy free. Yeah. It's like, that's all you get.
Yeah. So, but if they were going to continue with the rowdy three, then the rowdy three having a known background linked to Blackwing makes that Blackwing link, I think, unavoidable. So that's always going to be, I think, the danger with bringing any character that's already got a link to Blackwing is that it then brings the Blackwing story to some degree, at least, and maybe it could be largely glossed over and ignored, which could work quite well.
Yeah, it would make sense maybe if they want to ease in, and then if they get renewed for later seasons, then we start seeing some of the more crazy bit. It felt a little bit like how... Yeah, I think BBC and the actually Bizarre Enough Dirt Mags' radio series, they both started the second series of both of them really amped up a lot of the Hitchhikers references, where they became a lot more sort of front and center. Like, you have Dirt going, "Oh, don't panic," in the BBC show, or you have Marvin popping up in the Dirt Mags radio series as well. That is Richard McDuff's new pet project or whatever. But
It was bought out by the Sirius Cybernetics Corporation.
It was, yeah, he was, yeah. That was what happened. So,
Agrajag the dog in the BBC America series.
That's
two.
Never very front and center one. I don't think it would be too distracting. It would be interesting how sort of the bar has shifted. And it's referencing things that you were working on, not like 6 years ago, whatever. But depending on when it comes out, of course, which is, I guess, of course, the big thing. I sort of speculated 2024 or 2025, and then at the end of the video I did a gag of a smash cut to 2034, and very badly, I have to apologize for the horrible editing, of just mashing Arvid Ethan David's head on top of Colonel Riggins, and Colonel Riggins saying Arvin saying, "Oh, come on, Dirt, we need you to come back in for the animated series." So the awkwardly set Frankenstein sentence mix, and Dirt gang, "Yes, sure, why not? It's only been 16 years."
It was very, very, very meme of you.
It was mean or meme? Because I don't know. It was definitely a meme. I don't know. Maybe I should just take it out of context and post it sort of as like its own clip. I don't know. Maybe a little bit solving there, because I'm almost certain there are bits in that video that I've gotten wrong. But I think that's part of the fun of it, to speculate a little bit.
Yeah. And look, hopefully we'll hear something a little bit sooner than another year and a half gap.
I think
so. And be able to then look back on our speculations and, oh, we got that right. We got that thing horribly, horribly wrong, or whatever.
I'd love to interview some of the people working on the series, because the last one, after I did the interview of Arvind, I said, "Oh, I'd really love to interview the showrunner," and I never heard back. So I assume it's still a tightly wrapped secret, as I keep saying about the show. So anyway, I think that's pretty much everything I wanted to talk about for the animated series. But fingers crossed, we hear more. If we hear more about it, we may well do another podcast about it. I'm really hoping before the end of the year, if there's a sale, which is a big if, that we might get maybe some sort of liftoff announcement, maybe even a little teaser trailer or something. But I think maybe that's a bit, again, ahead of ourselves, whereas I think maybe 2024 is going to be more likely, because there's often a big gap between something being sold and it being like presented to the public, with all the, especially with all the legal stuff that's been going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, and it depends on how much of that legal stuff. So Arvin said, take a bunch of time to clarify rights. Does that clarify rights mean that the legal paperwork is just freshly signed and they're finally able to move on? Or was he using that as a proxy for the legal rights and lots of other things over the last year and a half? Maybe the legal rights got clarified 6 months ago, 12 months ago, and they've been moving on and getting other things done in the interim. And
like hiring the voice talent, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, it's all speculation one way or the other, and until we see new information, we really aren't going to be able to know, or even be able to speculate with new information. But if a trailer dropped tomorrow, if a trailer dropped tomorrow, we would probably scrap this entire podcast recording session and do the whole thing again. It's like, hey, we recorded a podcast, and the next day they dropped a trailer. So you know what? Let's do it from scratch. But if a trailer dropped tomorrow, if a trailer dropped the day after this podcast is released on the internet, because that's never bitten us before, then we'd be able to look back and immediately say, well, clearly the rights issues were solved actually quite a while ago, and they've spent some interim time recording and animating and editing and moving on. And if we don't see a trailer for, let's say hypothetically, another 15 months from now, then we'll be able to look back and say, well, at the end of 2022, when Arvind said it took some time to clarify the rights, they must have just clarified the rights at the end of 2022, and they've spent all of 2023 and summer 2024 being able to then move on and do the actual production and animations and recordings and editings. And finally, here we are in early 2025 and we've got a trailer. And we're not going to know until we get more information, whether that's another off-the-cuff comment to a Reddit thread or a random tweet or an interview or a trailer. Or
a piece of paper hidden in a gutter in the street that Arvind has written on.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think that's pretty much everything and a bit more about the animated series that we really had to talk about. So I had one small thing that I wanted, where I've reached out to people hoping in vain to get people to send in messages for the podcast about things where they'd even been inspired to do things by Dirt Gently, or any version of Dirt Gently, or they'd had things happen in their lives where things sort of connected together in a sort of holistic or interconnected way that they noticed. And I got one response, which was written and not a voice message at all. And in fact, the voice message, by the way, is it's anchor.fm/electricmonk/message. And that's how you literally have a thing pops up and you can record your message and sort of title it, essentially. And so maybe even let us know, like, oh, please cut out the beginning because I messed up or whatever. You can put a little note in if you want. But the other thing I said in the call out, because I literally only made a Reddit post about it, so I probably the smarter thing to do would probably have been to end a previous podcast by calling, trying to get people to send in messages. But I wasn't really that forward thinking. So one of the things I did say as well is that, oh, please don't call in with any Bart Kerlish inspired murder spree confessions.
That would be bad news.
It would be, yeah. So thankfully, I'm wondering if that maybe scared everyone away, and the fact that there's only been one response is sort of very telling in of itself, but I doubt it. anyway, so we did get the response, and it was three things from this one person. It's a lady called Jules, I believe. She says, I'm doing two courses this semester. One of them is about comparing handwriting for forensic. One of them is, hey, you get to work with the workers' union and work on a case with their lawyers. I got a case which needs comparing handwriting by chance and was able to, one, actually help, and two, most likely secure a dream job in the future because my case is handled by the head of the lawyers and he seems extremely impressed by me. By the way, you can just call me Jules, so which I'm already doing.
Yes.
So that's the first one, which is pretty great. Best of luck with the with both projects, actually, with not just the course, but also the helping out the union with the handwriting.
Yeah.
Well, analyzing handwriting. I'm not sure she's not actually just literally teaching them how to write.
Yes.
I made it sound a bit sillier. Also, the both of these must have occurred during the writing, because she says, oh, and also, once my boyfriend and I went to Amsterdam doing sightseeing, and I suddenly had the impulse to start running. I did that with my freaked out boyfriend following me. I stopped in front of a small chocolate factory, brackets now bigger, called Tony's Chocolonely, which of course I know because I actually had a few bars of Tony Chocolonely before. It's actually quite nice. We went in, had a great time, tasted so much chocolate, and now it is our favorite chocolate. So I guess the lesson there is run around randomly in Amsterdam and you never know what you might find, I guess.
My praise.
And the boyfriend must have felt a lot less freaked out once he got to eat chocolate, I imagine.
chocolate helps also, everything.
Exactly. Also, whenever I have the impulse to take part in a luck game like Tombola, Spinning Wheel, etc., I win one of the main prizes. I sadly rarely have this feeling. Well, Jules, I hope you felt like a winner today after getting your message read out on the Electric Monks podcast. Well, I mean, it's not much, but hey, anything I can do to make you feel like more of a winner, because I have the same feeling sometimes.
Having that kind of impulse work out for luck games sounds like a really neat trick, and it's better than most people who just play luck games for the hell of it and then usually lose, as is the nature of them. So even if the feeling is rare, having it always pay off sounds like a really nice deal.
So anyway, before we leave, let's do some plugs before we go. So as I said, you can always send in messages to the podcast, anchor.fm/electricmonk/message. We've also got our website, which is at dirtgentlypodcast.wordpress.com, if I remember correctly. I think that's it, yeah. Which is where I basically, hopefully, will remember to just put up the actual entry for this episode as well. I'm on Twitter at Edward J. Hunter. And we also got the YouTube channel, which is, of course, Electric Monks, which is where I posted the Everything I Know About Animated Series video that I talked about, and a whole bunch of other stuff as well. Nemo, do you want to plug anything?
I'm on Twitter as at sub_ether, ETHR. There's no E at the end there. That's really it for me for blogging.
There we go. Yes. Short but sweet. Just like this podcast.
Twitter itself is its own special dumpster fire at the moment. So how long I'll keep, I've been using Twitter, to be honest, less and less over the last few months. And especially
a certain billionaire might have had something to do with that, I guess.
Absolutely the case. I've got a Mastodon account set up for my personal usage, which I don't have an equivalent for my sub-ether fandom type usage, and whether I will is something I haven't decided yet. So at the moment,
we should set up our own joint Electric Monks social media space or something. Well, what should we call it? Like believe.com or something like that.
everything is
When we did the radio series, and there was the episode we did about the Tea Time radio series, wasn't there a website you found where the domain, was it God Compare? That was it. Godcompare.com or something like that hadn't been taken.
Honestly, don't remember now.
I swear there was. Yeah, we could easily just take that. It's been about 4 years since we did that podcast, so I'm not sure someone might have nicked it because we mentioned it. So now we can't use it ourselves.
It'll be those Eastern Europeans again.
Exactly. Yes.
Taking our domain names and trying to monetize us.
it all ties back into that random guy who hacked our podcast. I'm gonna have to start a process of just changing the password every time we do an episode and try to come up with different ones. That'll be fun. But anyway, I think that's it. So all that really remains is to say goodbye, auf Wiedersehen, and adios, and hasta luego. So we're trying to get a few different languages in there for our foreign language listeners, because there are apparently a few. I don't know if they can understand. They can understand, because
of course they can.
Multilingual. I'm not sure what I'm getting at there.
Unless somebody is listening to our podcast as a learning English lessons, in which case please don't. This podcast is for people who is not the way to learn English.
For advanced.
That's one thing I'm confident of. Yes.
Much like the Duck of Sounds, but although actually I think you can actually have the books read to you as children, as long as your dad glosses over the bits of like Arthur and Fenchurch having intercourse and a bit of swear words now and again.
Yes. Well, Pan Macmillan does the Hitchhiker's novels are sold through the Pan Macmillan Children's imprint.
I don't think the first book has sort of become a kind of iconic sort of family book, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. There's only a few adult references. And the way Douglas wrote the adult references tends to be, he tends to allude to sex, drugs, and rock and roll, as it were, rather than talk overtly about them. Hmm. He talks about Eccentric Columbus, the triple breasted whore of Eroticon 6, whose erogenous zones start 6 miles from her body. But
that's also really, so ludicrous that it's nothing really to read.
But it's like, yeah, it's not actually sexual. It's talking about sex, but it's not talking in a sexualized way. And realistically, that's easy to skip. It's not plot important. And even when we have Fenchurch and Arthur on the wing of a plane, what they're doing is told to us, but it's not explicit. So.
I think my dad skipped over that bit of the book, so I don't know. I wouldn't know. I need to reread. It's not Fish, is it?
Yep.
See, because I remember the very first podcast we did, I got it wrong, and I've always been a bit. Which one is it? With all my Arthur and Fentritch bang on the plane, on the wing of the plane.
That's the one. But it's one of the comments actually about Owen Colfer's and another thing is that his take on the adult humor of Hitchhikers tends to be a little bit blunter, a little bit cruder, a little bit actually there rather than just alluding to it. Yeah, it's one of those observations about his writing style that I've seen analysis, and it's been too long since I've read another thing myself to directly comment, but I've heard a comment, and it makes sense that his experience to that point was writing children's books, and his Hitchhiker's novel was in many ways his first book for adults, and it almost felt like he went a little bit overboard with, oh, now I can be crude and I can swear and I can talk about sex, and it's like it feels like he overdid it compared to the way that Douglas did it. But
feel like my appetite for having a go and another thing, which I've also never read, is sort of diminished, mainly because Owen Colfer is going for a pretty, after the Artemis Fowl movie was such a horrible adaptation, I feel like he's gone for a bit of a rough time the last few years. So I feel like maybe I should lay off him. I did actually like the Artemis Fowl books as a kid and having read them. So I can definitely see why he got the gig and from the Adams family. And again, from only having listened to the radio series and not having read it, but
the radio series improves on another thing quite a bit.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. I'm realizing this isn't really much of an ending to the podcast so far. So there actually has to be a bit where we sign off, doesn't there?
So. There should be, but well, I actually just to circle around to plugging the Heart of Gold Discord server. I believe there's a pinned post on the Douglas Adams subreddit, or it might be the Hitchhiker's Guide subreddit. There's a pinned post, which is an invite to the Heart of Gold Discord. On the Heart of Gold Discord, which is largely a Hitchhiker's Discord, but really anything Douglas Adams-y is fair game. The Another Thing and the Hexagonal Phase radio adaptation of it has been one of the long-running discussions, and for quite a while the long-running discussions was between the guy who had heard the Hexagonal Phase and loved the radio series in general and felt that we were being way too mean in our dislike of And Another Thing, and most of the rest of us who had read Another Thing but hadn't heard the Hexagonal Phase, basically saying to varying degrees it's if not rubbish, then it's at least not as equal to the other books as he was perceiving them to be. But his perception very much was from the radio series perspective, with the tertiary, quandary, quintessential and Hexagonal Phases all being adapted by Dirk Maggs and all having the same actors. And so he very much sees them as they're part of a set of six, and they're all quality. When he finally read And Another Thing, he kind of had these reactions like, "Ooh, yeah, wow! This is really just gaining respect for Dirk Maggs for the way that he adapted Douglas's original writings back into the radio adaptation of it, and tweaked some of the characters and presumably character performances as well from the original." Radio actors all helped.
And Dirk Maggs, another person that I desperately want to get on the podcast at some point. I did try and send him an email, I think, several years ago. I'm not sure if it was like an old email or something, but I never heard back. So maybe he just took one look at the listenership and thought, well, I'll wait for them to become more popular and then I'll come. Nah, I doubt he's that cynical, because he's on like the ZZ9 Plural Alpha fan.
Yeah, he's in the ZZ9 Facebook group.
Well, maybe I should reach out to him directly there rather than using old email.
He's reasonably active on Twitter as well. He might have just been waiting for us to be big enough to be hacked by Eastern Europeans.
Exactly.
That joke is definitely old, and I promise not to regurgitate it on the next podcast. Yeah,
Next time we do it, we'll
unless I decide that I will.
Okay, I won't hold it against you. Don't worry. But anyway, with that all done, thanks very much for listening. We'll be back hopefully in about a month's time or so for the next episode, but I can't make any promises there as usual. But it's just great to be back anyway in 2023. We hope you have a great year, and we hope you spend some of it listening to us, because we've got a great back catalogue of episodes too, and some great interviews with people like Kim Fuller and Arvind Ethan David and Sam Rafferty, did the Dirt Journey play a few years ago.
Yes.
And we know he's still a great and devoted listener. So it's always great to catch up with people. Always great to hear from you, of course, as well. But you won't be hearing from us anymore because we're about to end. So from myself, from Nemo, it's goodbye, and you'll hear from us again very shortly. See you soon.
Till next time.